Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you knew my thoughts this morning. You knew I wasn't real anxious to even share today. But I know, Lord, that life goes on. And your people need to be encouraged and strengthened by your precious and wonderful word. I need your help, Holy Spirit. Today, help me to keep my thoughts on your word. And may they be good thoughts. Not just today, but tomorrow and every day until you take me home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of things we take for granted. And especially our thoughts. I forgot to dismiss the little ones. I'm sorry. Little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. Our thoughts are always with us. You ever stop to consider really what you're thinking? And is what you're thinking correct thoughts? Are they good thoughts and are they correct thoughts? Well, how do we even know if they're good thoughts? What would be the gauge for evaluating them? I think the only way for us to know if we're thinking correctly is to see if our thoughts align closely with absolute truth. And where do we find absolute truth? You're holding it in your hand, God's word. If we're making decisions that are based on lies or maybe faulty reasoning, every aspect of our life is going to be affected. Do you know that from the very day that we were born, our minds have been programmed by what we have experienced or been taught? It affects many areas of our life, especially our convictions. Let's just take that for example. Do you know what a conviction is? How many of you know what a conviction is? You think you know what a conviction is, put your hand up. Then I'll know how many I need to address. A conviction. That's something that your parents, perhaps, hopefully through God's word, they've taught you things that God likes and things he doesn't like. Now, depending on how you were brought up and what kind of a home you were brought up and whether your parents were Christians or not, it's going to depend on your convictions that you have formed. And those convictions carry with you all throughout your life. They carry with you all throughout your life. Now, if your parents thought that on Sundays, you don't do anything but sleep. You don't do nothing on Sundays except sleep, as far as working is concerned. I will tell you this. This was back before I even knew the Lord wanted me to be a pastor. I papered a bank one Sunday when I should have been in church. And I had to ask God to forgive me because I went against my conviction. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I was really uncomfortable doing what I was doing. The Holy Spirit made sure I was uncomfortable doing what I was doing. I'll tell you, that was the worst, the most miserable Sunday I ever spent in my life. Because I had enough God in me to know that I hope the rapture don't take place, because I'll be behind. I felt awful. And I purpose to never do that again. That's a conviction. And I'm glad I have that conviction. You should have one too. But now if you don't have a conviction like that, it's because your parents didn't teach you that. You obviously didn't experience that in your growing up. But I'll bet there's some things you do on Sunday your parents would never think about doing on Sunday. Hello. In fact, I think that's what I said at Wayside when I was invited to speak many years ago, Gene. When you and Brenda attended Wayside, I think I was doing a revival service there, and I'd say hello. Hello simply means, am I stepping on your toes or not? Am I talking to you or not? I think we're living in a day and age and generation that there's not very many people have any convictions about anything. Are you listening to me? Hello? I don't have any conviction. Everything's okay. Everything's all right. Everything's not okay. Not everything is all right. What kind of example are you setting? Children are watching you, and they don't miss nothing. They don't miss anything. If you want your children to have convictions, then you should have some. Then you need to have them. Because that's what helped form my convictions, was the godly life that I seen my parents living. People do all kinds of things today and think it's okay. And I see each generation getting worse, further away from God. Doing things that I knew my parents wouldn't ever think of doing on a Sunday. Just wouldn't think of it. And so because of those convictions, I don't feel comfortable about certain things. And according to Apostle Paul, if you're not feeling comfortable about that particular thing that you think you're going to try to do, that's the Holy Spirit prompting you to not do it. And if you disobey the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is grieved when you don't pay attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And then you sin. That which is not of faith is sin. You couldn't do that in faith, it's sin. And you need to ask God's forgiveness. How many times have we done things that's not of faith? Lots of times. But ask God to forgive you. He will. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. So we're programmed by the things that we have been experienced, by the things that we were taught. Some of it is good. We've developed some thought patterns as a result of that. But sometimes these thought patterns perhaps could have been hampered because they weren't based on truth. They weren't based on God's word. Sometimes man's tradition versus God's truths. Is this something that mankind came up with? Is this one of the rules that man came up with? Or is this God's rule? So we have to familiarize ourselves with God's word, with his rules. And we'll see how our thinking compares to his word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8:31-32. And then he continued by explaining that everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin in John 8:34. The human race is born with a sin nature, and the sin nature is hostile toward God. Our minds have been corrupted, and so it affects every area of our life because of it. We can't trust our reasoning because our minds are corrupted. So we need to consider what the Bible says about the mind. And the first thing is, the minds of the unbelieving are darkened. The minds of unbelievers are darkened. Now, this doesn't mean that they lack intelligence or that they are unable to understand the things of God. That's what it's referring to. Because according to 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. So they don't understand the things of God, and neither can they know them until they have a transformation take place. And it begins with salvation. According to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, I'd like to read that. So if you have your Bibles handy, it's just not there too far. Romans and Corinthians are real close together. We're going to go back and forth just a few minutes with Romans and Corinthians. Romans chapter 1, there's several verses here that I want to look at, but not at this particular moment. Romans chapter 1, 18 through 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested to them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image that was made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Those who are without Christ have no power over sin. You see, most people aren't as bad as they could be. And we know of some and read of some and see in the papers and newspaper of some people that are really bad and really do some evil things. And we just are aghast at the evilness that we see. And there's a lot of evil going on today. You ever remember of a time there were so many shootings? The shootings in our schools, now they've not stopped at our schools. Now it's everywhere. An angered, fired employee returns to his place of work and shoots people. You know what I think? I think we're going to see more of it. I think it's the beginning of, the scripture says, of sorrows. I think it's just the beginning. I think it's only the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to witness and see before Jesus comes. It's sad. And Barb, don't like to see it, do we? It's horrible. It's why we have to be careful of some of the things that we see and look and focus on, because we shouldn't focus on that. We need to focus on Jesus and Calvary and the good things. There's times I've been watching news broadcasts and I get so frustrated that I have to turn it off. My neighbor and I discussed that. We have a particular station that we watch, but we can only watch it for a little bit. And we get too frustrated. Huh? I don't know another brother that watches it. We get too frustrated. And we have to walk away from it. You know why? We're in this world, but we don't need to be part of it. And I can tell you that the things I see disheartens me. I get really angry because my grandchildren are living here with me. It don't only affect me, it affects them and all the other ones that I love. If I didn't have any children or grandkids and I lived on an island, I could care less. But that's not the case. I am concerned. So I have to turn it off and talk to Jesus about a lot of things. So people, some are not as bad as they could be. But I can tell you that the sin nature contaminates motives, and it makes all the good that they would do as filthy rags in God's eyes. Even the good things that they would do is as filthy rags in God's eyes. And then if you want to make matters worse, Satan's constantly tempting, constantly deceiving with worldly pleasures and pursuits. But there is hope, I can tell you, in Christ. There is hope. In this life, most miserable, but there is hope in Christ. And I'm looking forward to that day, to that city, where there isn't all this evil stuff that we're bombarded with constantly, every day. We're living in a sin-sick society. It troubles me. And we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for those who are running our nation. We need to pray for them. The second thing, believers become new creations in Christ with a new mind. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm going there to read a portion for you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Got so many stuff in my Bible. 2:15. 2:15. Bear with me. 2 Corinthians 2. Oh, got a page back a little bit. There we go. Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians. No wonder this don't look right. Roger, back up a little bit. 1 Corinthians. Oh, that looks better. I had my thing in the wrong place. Okay. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so we are a new creature. We're able to understand the things of God. And after salvation, we are encumbered many times by wrong thought patterns. Sometimes we'll still be bothered with wrong thoughts. Maybe we'll be bothered by some old habits. Or maybe we'll have a worldly perspective. And that's what we got to be careful of. As a Christian, are you developing a worldly perspective? You know what disheartens me is this, I see so many liberal ministers today developing these worldly perspectives, and then they preach it from the pulpit. That's what bothers me as a pastor. They preach these worldly perspectives. They're not studying the right book. Because if they were, they wouldn't be preaching such sermons. They've developed liberal, worldly perspectives that only produce bad attitudes. You don't need to go far to see that. God has provided everything we need to be transformed by his word. And when we continue in the word, the Lord says that we will know the truth and we'll be set free from this faulty thinking, as well as sinful behaviors. We won't have this behavior if we are renewed with our minds and we are thinking about the things of God. And then thirdly, we need to have a renewed mind. We don't need to think like the world people think. Sometimes we become worn out in our efforts to overcome sin. There's some things in life you may have to struggle with all your life. In my lifetime, I've seen people delivered miraculously from old habits. I've heard their testimony. They were miraculously delivered. And they're living a victorious life. And then I've met some who struggle with it all their life. Have you met them too? I have. I've met some. They've struggled with it all their life. I can't answer that question. I don't know why that is. I wish you could all be free from it. I believe that they can be. They need to trust the Lord and the Holy Spirit to help them. But I've seen it in my life. And I've often wondered, Lord, why can one get the victory and the other seems to just struggle with it all their life? I pray for them. Please help them, Lord, to be an overcomer. Help them to be an overcomer, as your word says, that we can be overcomers. With Christ, there's hope. Without him, there is no hope. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the Lord calls us to stop adopting the culture's values. Our culture's values is bad. Our world's philosophies are wicked. Adopt our Lord's philosophy, his precious word. The Holy Spirit will help you to conform to his image, not of this world, but it begins here in our mind. Every time you read the Bible, God is reprogramming your mind with truth so you can be set free from these old thought patterns. And that you will be able today, from this day forth, begin to think rightly and to learn to trust him. In Brenda's devotional booklet, she wrote, "Let Bumbly be learning to trust all her little creatures that she painted." The message was to trust in the Lord. Trust him. But Bumblebee, even though your body's too big for your wings, the Lord still was able to make you fly. You can fly. All his creatures, the Bible says, has shown us that we can be without excuse. Everything he's made speaks about him. It speaks volumes about our Creator. In every animal that he's created speaks volumes. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I've reached the end of my message. It's important that you be involved in Scripture. We have made available for you devotionals that so many times speak to my heart, and I know that they speak to your heart. Engagement with the Scripture is very, very essential. It is a crucial function of the church. Not only as pastors, we must faithfully teach God's word, but as believers, we should constantly remind each other of its life-giving contents. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, Colossians 3:16. And when you store up God's word in your heart, you'll be able to share it in the lives of others. And that powerful transformation will be able to be made possible. Continuing God's word. And you'll discover it's the only thing that will set you free. It'll set you free. It will bring delight to your soul. It will bring wisdom to your mind and blessings to all those to whom you share it. Oh, wonderful. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word today. Minister to my heart today. And Lord, I pray that it has ministered to each and every heart that's here today. Father, I pray, Lord, for each and every one here. Lord, the desire to have good thoughts. Help them with their thoughts. Help them to know when to walk away from listening to so much bad stuff that's happened in so many parts of our world. I pray, Lord, that we will be concerned enough to pray about these situations, but also give us the wisdom of when, Lord, that we need to just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Not be anxious about many things, but just be grateful for today. Lord, I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful and honored to be able to share your word today. Always an honor, and especially today. Father, be with these, Lord, these hearts that are hurting. I pray that your Holy Spirit overshadow them and give them the strength to face tomorrow. For, Lord, you hold tomorrow in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scotty?